Chop Talk is brought to you by the Kosho School of Karate's premium martial arts training equipment. Frustrated with the low quality of the big manufacturers, the hassle and expense of custom-made equipment, or the months-long delivery times offered by the Japanese brands, if your order ever arrives at all? Kosho offers makiwara, iron sandals, specialty punching bags, and other premium martial arts training equipment, all at great prices and great delivery times. Kosho equipment is guaranteed to be high quality and heavy duty, exactly what serious traditional martial artists demand. Contact the Kosho School of Karate for more information. Go to www.koshoequip.com or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. Kosho, premium martial arts training equipment for the serious martial artist. Hey everybody, welcome to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. This week, Ezra Scott from James McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville joins the show. Ezra and I discuss the recent release of Marvel's Iron Fist on Netflix, and also the other Marvel shows including Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. We start the show by focusing on the fight choreography, but by the second half of the show, we get into some of the social issues represented by each of the shows, especially the criticisms of cultural appropriation that have been leveled at Iron Fist, particularly those regarding the appropriateness of having a white person portrayed as being a master of Asian martial arts. I post the article we discussed in the show on Chop Talk's Facebook page, as well as some photos from this week's episode. So I don't know if the Chop Talk listeners have any idea, but I'm secretly a little bit of a comic book nerd. I'm really into especially the Marvel movies, and I started watching the Marvel Netflix series recently. And a few weeks ago, the newest Marvel Netflix came out, which was Iron Fist. And as it was coming out, there was a lot of negative reviews on this, which was kind of surprising considering how well some of the other ones were reviewed. Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil all got great reviews, but Iron Fist was just not. So I wanted to look at this and watch, and actually I got in touch with my good buddy and oftentimes Chop Talk guest Ezra Scott from James McLean's Kosho School in Karate, and he's actually on the line. Ezra, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Nate. I'm doing good. Proud to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks for joining us. So, you know, the big thing that was interesting to me was the fight choreography, especially with Iron Fist coming out, where he's this martial artist. I went back and watched some of the other a little bit more for the fight choreography. And what I wanted to do is look at these shows from a little bit of a martial artist perspective. So the first one, sure. The first one that we watched was Daredevil. So a quick synopsis on Daredevil's superpowers is, first off, he's blind, but he's really good at fighting, and he has this sort of echolocation thing, so he's blind, but he can see in the dark. And also his other superpower is he's super scrappy. Like, he just wants to keep going all the time. The fight scenes in this one, so he has some real good ones in apartment one. In season one, there's some great. In episode one, he's actually had this great fight in apartment. And later on, and I think in episode two, he rescues this kid from these Russians, from these Russian gangsters. And Ezra, I'm not sure what you felt, but I kind of liked the fight choreography in this one. It was pretty quick, a lot of action, but the guy did a few too many jump kicks. He kind of jumped up and kicked a few too many times. I don't know. What did you think about the Daredevil or the fights in that one?
I mean, I guess it's definitely not my cup of tea. I usually this is the first time I've seen any of these type shows. I actually ended up enjoying it, but I, you know, was watching them at your request so we could talk about them on the podcast and everything. And
right.
the Daredevil ones, I guess the thing that really takes me out of fight scenes in action movies is when they're like these sort of kung fu sequence things, which was what the Daredevil one really seemed like to me. It was real similar to, I shouldn't even say kung fu, but like a wushu
okay.
looking choreography. You know, like it's like as if wushu guys were doing a demonstration mm-hmm. is what that stuff looks like to me. And it would be the same thing in like those Jason Bourne movies.
Okay.
I mean, that's like a little grittier, but it's still the same thing. It's a lot of like little like trap blocking and people hitting each other with these real quick little back fists and elbows and hook kicking each other in the head. And
mm-hmm.
everybody can get hit like 50 million times, but it never hurts them.
Right.
You know, like that, you know, and these guys are getting these fights and the fight lasts for like 5 minutes and like everybody is just beat half to death. And then 3 minutes later in the movie, they're fine. And I guess,
right.
like, for me, just having seen, you know, some real fights and been in some real fights.
Right.
I just don't. And also, you know, as a martial arts teacher and self-defense teacher and student, it's just hard for me to, I guess, what's the right word to kind of suspend my disbelief.
Right.
You know, like, I have a hard time with that. Now, I would say this. There are fight scenes that I do get into, and specifically it would be like those sword fighting scenes in Sanjuro and Yojimbo and all those like
okay.
Toshiro Mifune's samurai movies.
Right.
Those ones, because those ones seem, even though obviously it's implausible that you have this one samurai being able to, you know, fight 10 guys at once or whatever, which that happens a lot in that.
Right.
It has the realistic aspect that they really have to do the whole, you know, in Macbeth when he says, either him or his wife, I think his wife tells him, Macbeth, now's the time, he's got to murder the king. And I think it's the
right.
wife is telling him, now's the time we screw our courage to the sticking point. You know, and like, get it done. Like, it's time to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the thing that's left out of these type of sequences the most, is that, the people in, you know, in real fighting, people's faces become like a mask. You know, I mean, anybody's ever had somebody
yeah,
get
true.
Real mad and want to fight them has experienced that of like, you know, and some people in ring fighting, depending on who you're sparring against, have had this experience of standing on the line across from somebody and they just want to rip your head off.
Right.
And so you have to find that place in yourself, and you know, and usually these things don't last very long. you
right.
know what I mean?
So as I think that's a good
so
point on, especially on the Sanjuro Yojimbo, which I think Yojimbo's my favorite movie of all time, except maybe
yeah,
the Good, the Bad,
really
and the Ugly.
Right.
And all those, the fighting is very quick. And in fact, there's a couple fights where the guys square off, and it's one sword cut and done. So I think that is, I guess, a little bit more realistic. But I would argue that Daredevil, even though it is a superhero, the guy does go on forever. At least they're showing at the end he's getting tired. At least he gets cut. It's not some he's not some invincible force. So they're making at least an effort, I would say, in Daredevil to show this guy getting. I mean, and the other nice thing is, sort of in the middle of the season, I believe it was episode 9, he was fighting this ninja, and they actually were using a they used a Kasari Gama, you know, the sickle with the chain for those non-martial arts people out there, which I thought that you never see. You always see a sword or something like that, and so I kind of
yeah, unless you watch American Ninja.
That's true, but I appreciated them using something a little bit different, and I think the unrealistic thing about that, I think he got the blade of Kasari Gama poked through him all the way through him at one point, and he was still wanted to keep going. So that was unrealistic, but I did like the continuous action, and I could just do without the jump kicks and the sacrifice kicks.
Yeah, I thought there was that was one of the times in. Luke Cage, see, I thought, to me, Luke Cage was more, the violence in Luke Cage and Jessica Jones was more plausible.
Okay.
Because it wasn't like a wushu type of thing. It was just like what it would look like if some dude had a superpower.
Right. So
you know what I mean? Let's be more realistic to me, because it's like, if there was this big dude and he had these same superpowers as Luke Cage has, which I'm sure you're about to go into there, he could take somebody and like throw him against the wall and knock him out, or slap him in the head and knock him out like that.
Right.
That seemed plausible to me, so it didn't take me out. It didn't take me out of the story.
Okay, because
put it that way, we're like Daredevil and Iron Fist. The foolishness of the fighting takes me completely out of the series and makes me not even want to watch the show. Where, like, with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, the fighting was, like, plausible enough based on their abilities that it didn't make me just go, oh, God.
Okay, so let's talk about Luke Cage for a second. So Luke Cage's superpower is, number one, he's super strong. Number two, he has this unbreakable skin, this bulletproof skin.
Bulletproof.
Right.
I watched the whole thing of Luke Cage.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I liked
okay.
that one a lot. And Jessica Jones, too. I just thought it was a cool show, you know? Mm-hmm. First off, I got to get my sweatshirt with the bullet holes in it.
Right.
My Luke Cage bullet hole sweatshirt. I looked it up, and you actually can order them online, so I might have to get one. But, I just thought he was really cool. I liked the character. I thought that, and this is interesting, you know, there's some other things we may talk about this sort of thing on the Iron Fist one, because of some of the criticisms that were leveled against it later on in the podcast. But with Luke Cage, I thought it was really cool that it really was a show about black people, and it wasn't just didn't feel like it was just a white director trying to be culturally sensitive.
Okay.
It felt like really a show that was trying to do a good job in a cartoon-like setting, obviously, because these are comic book shows. It's
right.
not like watching The Wire or something like this. It's made after a comic book, and that's the spirit that it's in, so that's fine, you know. But it felt like it portrayed the, you know, black or African-American characters as, you know, complex individuals.
Right.
It wasn't just like, here's the black guy and he's going to do this. You know, like just a stereotype kind
right.
of thing. It felt like, you know, there were good characters and bad characters. And even the bad characters, they showed, you know, how like the sister of the main bad guy,
mm-hmm.
how she, even though she was kind of a gangster and she was like involved with her brother, because that's kind of the old way that these neighborhoods worked.
Right.
When the people were really disenfranchised, was that the gangsters kind of ran the neighborhoods, and she still was involved with that. And she kind of was a bad person,
mm-hmm.
but she also kind of did want to actually do right by her community. It wasn't like she didn't love the neighborhood. And I thought stuff like that really made it like a good show.
Right.
You know? And the other thing that I thought was cool about Luke Cage, going back to, you know, our initial topic and me not getting off too much into something that I may not really know too much about,
right.
is the fighting in Luke Cage, they actually showed, you know, unrealistic depictions of actual martial arts techniques. And I couldn't cite where all that went down in the storyline.
Mm.
But when I say actual martial arts techniques, I just mean martial arts techniques that would realistically work in real life, like chokes or,
right.
you know, takedowns. I mean, a lot of the stuff Luke Cage was doing seemed to be sort of like similar to like a lot of like the clotheslining techniques in Aikido.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I don't really know how realistic those are for real life. I, you know, I'm not suited to make a judgment on that. I've seen anybody do it, but, you know, there was like, especially when they had the little like prison MMA fight.
Right.
You know, there were people getting guillotine choked and stuff like that. There was one really silly part where one of the convicts threw sort of a 45-degree hook kick to the head.
Right.
Which I thought was really dumb. Kind of
right.
like what you were saying in the Daredevil with the jump kicks.
But right.
I don't know. It seemed like, you know, some of it seemed a little bit more plausible.
Yeah, yeah. And I think...
I thought that one was the best on the violence. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Especially on the... Taking into consideration this guy's superpowers, is he's super strong. So a lot of the fighting, it's almost like he was disinterested in the fighting because he was so strong, it didn't matter. They could punch him in the jaw, like right at the beginning. Like I think it was episode one, he went into this restaurant, and this guy tried to punch him in the jaw, and the guy broke his hand. And then Luke just sort of casually throws him out the window. There was another little scene somewhere else where he broke up a robbery. I'm not sure if you saw this one or not. And I think Luke just sort of flicked him in the head and knocked him out, which is...
Yeah, he slapped him in the head, yeah.
Yeah, which is realistic based on his superpower. Now, the other thing I liked about the show is the music. They had some really good music in there, and I was real surprised to see a couple people I was big fans of, Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley, both show up and do these musical numbers. And Sharon Jones recently passed away, so that was probably one of the last things where she was on TV or any kind of media. So that was, I thought that was really neat to have that music incorporated into the show so heavily.
Yeah, whoever, clearly the screenwriters or producers or something have good taste, mm-hmm. and were trying to spread their taste about music and literature through this show, because I noticed that they were kept making these sort of clumsy references to fiction. Like Luke Cage was always reading a book, and then they'd be riding along and the detective would ask him, like, well, what are you reading? And he'd be like, oh, Walter Mosley, who's like a, you know, African-American fiction writer. It was like they were sort of like,
yeah,
kind of like giving little shout-outs there. Like, yeah. This is maybe, like, they were using the show as a vehicle, you know, where maybe somebody who didn't know about some black authors or musicians or something might find out about them.
Yeah.
You know? It felt like the same thing with the music. Like, they were, like, really, you know, featuring people, which, yeah, it was cool. I thought it was really cool. I really liked it. I mean, I think out of all of them, I like Jessica Jones a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a cool character, yeah. But I thought that Luke Cage was the strongest out of all the shows we watched.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialists in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber to increase metabolism, reduce fatigue, and promote faster recovery from injuries. Take their stretching course to increase flexibility and release muscle fatigue. ATAC also offers special courses in static and thermal therapy, foot therapy, and head therapy. Or try a session of ATAC's latest offering, acupuncture therapy, with their fully licensed acupuncture therapist. Want to find out more? ATAC is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Stop into their center located at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.a-tac.net. That's www.a-tac.net. Staff is fluent in English, Portuguese, Spanish, and Japanese.
Jessica Jones, I mean, that one was cool, too. It was plausible in the same way that Luke Cage was plausible, in that, like, well, if she was, like, really, really strong, these are some of the things that she could do. And Jessica seemed actually pretty – she was, like, hesitant to use her powers even more than Luke. Like, she, you know –
Right, and her big power was right, and her big power was just she was super strong. She wasn't. I think Luke was bulletproof, which was cool, but
yeah.
Jessica was just really, really strong. There wasn't as much action in Jessica Jones. It was a much more sort of a slow burn, dramatic. I mean, a lot of the show was dealing with was more her relationship with this stalker or this kidnapper who had assaulted her.
That guy was a great actor, by the way. The guy that played Kilgrave.
Oh yeah,
he's awesome. That guy was really—I was really impressed.
And I mean, and so anytime there was action with her, it was just sort of her manhandling somebody generally, which was. I guess accurate how that would really happen if someone had super strength in real life.
It didn't take you out of the story.
Right.
So I would say I thought that was good in terms of that one. It didn't take you out of the story.
Right.
You know, where with some of that stuff, I felt the same way with the Iron Fist one. I didn't watch all of that one, but I honestly, it's like, I, of course, I'm not trying to like run down Kung Fu at all. Mm-hmm. I know that there's lots of awesome martial artists that do Kung Fu, and there's a lot of people that can fight well that do Kung Fu. Personally, I have not been around this very much. I've been around Sifu Liu Chang, who is a white crane guy that Master Keppel had come to USKK Nationals.
Okay.
And that guy seemed to me to be really a legit, you know, fighting man. Like, right. He could really whip somebody's ass. But beyond that, I've never been around Kung Fu people like that. I'm not saying they're not out there. I just hadn't been around them.
Right.
And I have been around a number of Kung Fu people that, you know, really did fit into the criticism of that a lot of, you know, MMA type people level at that, which is just that they're, you know, sort of believing in something that's kind of a fantasy, you know, in terms of self-defense. They have never done it. They don't know anybody that's ever done any of it in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just believing in it, which seems sort of crazy to me.
Right.
You know, like, and that is how the Iron Fist techniques are portrayed. They don't, they're not portraying it like, you know, because obviously there's Kung Fu that has a combat element to it, like that have like Sanshu sparring, and a lot of Kung Fu people, you know, just like us guys in karate, they may run the forms and stuff like that, but then they also have these, you know, a little bit more competitive, like combat sports style of their martial art that they do. So those guys can obviously can throw down. I mean,
right.
Kickboxing is kickboxing, wrestling is wrestling. If you can do some of those things, then that's a part of real combat. And some of those guys do it, but the stuff they were having him do was way more just like the Kung Fu movie stuff where you're just thinking, like, how in the hell would that have any effect on anybody? And I'm not saying that...
Right.
That
and hold on there, Ezra. Let me jump in. Hold on, man. It's my show. Let me get a word in here.
Sure. Sorry, I got off on a rant there.
No, it's all right. So, the other thing that I found about the Iron Fist is anytime they showed him training or doing anything like that, it was all super slow motion. Like, he was only doing this Tai Chi. And and also, the dojo, quick synopsis, you know, Iron Fist powers where he crash-landed in the Himalayas, was raised by monks, learned this martial art, and got this superpower where he could power up his fist by, I believe, fighting a dragon. And so he's supposed to be great at martial arts, but he also has this... the super strength also. But when he first comes to New York, he bumps into this, I don't know, 22-year-old girl who runs her own dojo. And here's my biggest problem, Ezra. What the hell martial art were they teaching at this dojo? I couldn't figure out what was going
really,
on.
Really, really bizarre.
I mean, they had black uniforms that were all brand new out of the box. They just ordered them from Century, unpacked, put them on the extras. Everybody had their belts tied wrong. She's leading a class with in a tank top and a kendo shinai. I have no idea what's going on. You know, I think that whether it's wushu or kung fu or karate or whatever they wanted to do, I think they would have been really well served to get somebody who knew something about these martial arts as a consultant on the show.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. 100%. Yeah, I completely concur. Because it just seemed like whoever was making it just didn't know anything about it.
And was uninterested. You know, like,
and not even interested. Absolutely, and not even interested in knowing about it. Yeah, it was really... That one's pretty grim.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.
Okay, now, you read to me, we were having a conversation on the phone a couple days ago, you read to me a thing about the some of the criticisms about the Iron Fist. What was that about again?
Okay, so, you know, this is what got me interested in having this this podcast with you, Ezra, is when it first came out, I was seeing all these articles that were criticizing Iron Fist. Some were saying it's a bad show, but a lot were talking about cultural appropriation and how it was inappropriate for to have a white actor cast. And I've got an article here. I'm just going to read it. It's from io9.com, which is a pretty good sort of geek and tech blog that I read pretty frequently. The article, I'll just summarize it here. The name of the article is, "It actually really, really sucks that TV's Iron Fist is white." The author is Rob Bricken. So just to summarize here, it says, "Last week, white actor Finn Jones was cast as Danny Rand, the white comic book character who becomes Marvel's martial arts superhero Iron Fist. In terms of bringing the original character to life on screen, it was an accurate choice. But for many, it was a upsetting choice. And guess what? They have every right to feel that way." By the way, whenever I emphasize it, that's because the word was italicized. Okay. So those people who know why they're upset and angry and disappointed need no justification for what they feel. He goes on, "Yes, it's true that the comics character Iron Fist is white, and thus it is indeed technically accurate for a white guy to play the role on TV. But technical accuracy does not equate the right thing. This character was and is an appropriation of Asian culture. No different from American Ninja, Shogun, The Karate Kid, The Last Samurai, and all other movies, comics, stories where a white guy discovers a foreign culture, learns its ways, and becomes better at it than the people who were born into it. It is both crappy and cliche, and one that still gets used too often. How perfect would it be if Danny Rand was looking to reclaim his Asian heritage instead of taking it from others? Much more powerful if the character Danny Rand has an authentic bond with the setting of his origin story as opposed to merely co-opting it. Besides racists, there's only one group of people who had an emotional stake at keeping Danny Rand a white guy, and that's a small group of diehard Iron Fist fans. Diversity isn't a quota, or it shouldn't be. It's 2016. This was obviously written before right before the show came out. Diversity should be the goal. It's something to companies like Marvel to constantly consider to strive for, and for us fans to ask for. Marvel had a golden opportunity to update a character who was created in a less sensitive time to one who makes sense in the 21st century." So, a little long-winded there, but there's a lot of other articles about this that were really complaining about the race of the comic book character.
So interesting. I just want to say, just first off, I don't even think it's worthwhile to go through and break down every place in that either one of us disagree with that guy, because I really think he's just kind of hating on people, basically.
Well he is, but he's not the only one out there. I mean,
Complain about it. And that's something that is endemic in our society right now, this whole social justice warrior thing where you basically just go on the internet and find someone saying something that you don't like and then pile on to them. That's a real, thing that's going on and is not very productive for anybody on any side of an argument to do. But I mean, one thing I thought is, maybe it would be culturally sensitive if you actually found something out about martial arts. That might be kind of respectful to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously,
right.
It's like here you've got these people are learning martial arts, and, that actually is something that, if you go to Okinawa, this is something that this culture is really proud of.
Right.
If you go to Chen Village in China to learn about Taiji, the people that live there are extremely proud of this. This is their thing. So if you're worried about not culturally appropriating, quote unquote, maybe try, making something that more accurately portrays their martial arts.
And not only are they proud of it, these, Okinawa and the village in China, they're proud that their culture is now around the world. and spread around the world, and this piece of their culture is out there. You know, when the very first time I visited Okinawa, I was there for a seminar, and there was all these people from around the world, white people, black people, Indian people, everywhere, from people from everywhere, all in their karate uniforms, piling into the Budokan to go to the seminar. Right next door is a baseball stadium, and all the little Okinawan kids were going into the baseball stadium with their uniforms and bats and balls. Were they appropriating American culture? You know,
no. It sounds like exactly how it's supposed to be.
Right.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds like what's so wonderful about martial arts. You know, I mean, my karate teacher was from Sand Mountain, Alabama. Mm-hmm. He was born in like 1943, mm-hmm. and I have pictures of him. This is before there were even really interstates in those areas, and his family was very poor. And I have photos of him teaching African Americans martial arts in the 1960s.
Right.
And that's at a time, for people who don't know much about American history, when in Alabama, white people did not teach black people how to fight, period.
Right.
It was the opposite. I mean, if you found a black person learning how to fight, you might just beat the hell out of them for it or kill them.
Right.
You know, so martial arts has a profound ability to bring us all together in just this thing that we love and get to see each other all as just brothers and sisters.
Right.
You know, and obviously it's not like that everywhere, but I think that's the, yeah.
Sure.
That's where it's at.
and I think for, you know, here's something I was considering recently. You know, my last name's England. I think we have some German heritage. But to be honest with you, I don't know the names of all my great-grandparents, let alone great-great-grandparents, and where everybody was from. Yeah. I guess I'm obviously English. Does that mean that I shouldn't be practicing martial arts? I should only, you know, be following, you know, the Queen? Or I'm German. Does that mean I should, you know, forget about anything I'm doing over here in the U.S. and just get really, really super into the Kaiser? You're from the South. you know, it's not culturally appropriate for you to have your Confederate flag going off the back of your pickup truck anymore either. So I think it kind of irritates me that if you are into some other aspect of a different culture, apparently that's just cultural appropriation. And I think that is racist. That you are not allowed to have.
It feels racist to me. I don't, you know, and that's the thing is, I don't know. I still really don't feel like I understand where the line is for a lot of these people. And honestly, I don't know if I really care.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I don't know where is the line between cultural appropriation and like enjoying something from another culture? Is it just that white people or, you know, Chinese people or something, one of these groups that's seen as being like an oppressor type group, like why, I guess whites are seen that way, Chinese are seen that way, Japanese are seen that way as being like oppressive colonial races, if that's even a real thing. Maybe we are the ones that are not allowed to enjoy other cultures, but other cultures are allowed to enjoy us. I don't know. I've never understood that either, you know, because I mean, when I go, my wife is a Native American and a lot of her family still lives on a Indian reservation in upstate New York. And when we go there and visit, I mean, you know, those guys, a lot of them have like kind of like hip hop style clothes and stuff like that. And it's like, well, so like, yeah, I've never understood. I mean, obviously, if I like pretend to be an African American when I am not,
right?
That is cultural appropriation. Like if I grow dreadlocks and I, you know, try to talk like I'm a Rastafarian and pretend like I'm from Jamaica.
If you, if you're like Rachel Dolezal, I would say that Rachel Dolezal is cultural appropriation. She pretended, she lied about being African American. And got a position on NAACP for this and did all these things claiming that she was, not that she was into the culture or inspired by, that she was African-American. I don't think...
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I can see how somebody would be offended by that.
Right.
You know?
But, I don't...
But that's not the same thing as, like I can like Charlie Pride.
Right.
Even though I'm not black. It's okay.
Yes.
You know, it's like in Zimbabwe, you probably know about this, actually, because you've been to South Africa. But in Zimbabwe and in South Africa and Botswana and Mozambique, they love Don Williams.
Okay.
The country singer.
All right.
Like, what are they going to do with good old boys like me and Sea of Heartbreak and all that? Like, he's great. They call him the Gentle Giant. He's this big, like, he's almost 7 feet tall, mm-hmm. Country singer. And he just is wildly popular up there with everybody, not just, like, with the white Africans,
right.
like, with black Africans, too, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, so is that, like, cultural appropriation if they like Don Williams or maybe one of them wears a belt buckle?
Right.
You know, I don't think so. I just think that that's people just, I think a lot of that stuff, Nate, is honestly, it's just people are upset and with how their life has gone. They're angry and disappointed. They don't really understand what they're angry and disappointed about.
Right.
And so they're looking for an outlet. Mm-hmm. And if that outlet is that, you know, it all just depends on how you see yourself. You know, if you see yourself as being like a liberal or whatever, like this guy, it sounds like a white dude, you know, that wrote the article, judging by his name. You know, maybe he's like upset about, you know, whatever's going on in his life. So he's going to hate on anybody that he deems as being, you know, being racist or something. And then maybe, you know, somebody who's like, you know, really, really into like Donald Trump and is really angry and has a crappy life.
That's
they're
me.
Online, you know, looking for people that are like traitors to America or something. And there are communists or something. I don't know.
This is Mike Tarvin of Tarvin Plumbing Company. You may have heard me answering questions as a plumbing expert on the Gary Sullivan Show over the years. I'm here today to make you aware of our company. We perform plumbing repairs of all types. We've been in business since 1907 through five generations of family members. That's 109 years of providing top quality workmanship and outstanding service. If you're having issues with leaks, stoppages, water heaters, fixtures, or piping, we're here to help. Spring rains may be taking a toll on your sump pump. To help out, ask us about our summer sump pump special. We can inspect the existing pump and replace it if necessary for a special summer price. We can also inspect or add a battery backup and other devices for extra security to keep you high and dry. We offer you peace of mind for your plumbing system with reliable, trustworthy service backed by years of experience. Tarvin Plumbing is a Cincinnati company with an appreciation of the wide range of plumbing challenges this city offers. So if you or someone you know has a need for plumbing repairs of any type, please think of us at Tarvin Plumbing. You can reach us at tarvinplumbing.com. That's tarvinplumbing.com. Thank you.
This is the article that I read, but it is by no means the only article. And I believe that this attitude affected the reviews of the show. You and I had our complaints about the show, but it's getting, I believe, a 1 star on Netflix. And even in the regular reviews that are not necessarily about the race, the cultural appropriation, which there's a lot out there, they're bringing these sort of things up where the female Asian should have been the star, and things like that. Now, here's another thing. In this article and others I read, they bring up Bruce Lee. Now, for a lot of years, you've probably heard this, that Bruce Lee was actually kicked out or asked to leave his first school because he was 1/8 German. Now, I was looking into Bruce Lee a little today because I spoke to Victor Moore on the phone earlier in the week, and he had the famous demonstration with Bruce Lee. And I was reading according to his Wikipedia page, Bruce Lee is not an 1/8 German. He was a 1/4 German. So was Bruce Lee, who this article and others cite as like the epitome of, you know, Asian superstardom, and was he appropriating Asian culture? Because he wasn't full-blood Chinese.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I hear you 100%. I also really feel like it's just that some of this stuff is just almost not even worth. I feel like we have to just ignore it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, I just almost feel like it's not even worth words.
Right.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. So Bruce Lee was into throwing overhand rights. They don't really have them in Kung Fu or whatever that you see too much, at least. I hadn't seen a whole lot of – he started out in Wing Chun, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Under Yip Man. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't throw a lot of overhand rights in that. It's all that machine gun punch, you mm-hmm. know, which is real good punch. But so is he like culturally appropriating boxing, or I don't, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just like, Well, it's just dumb. I mean, it's just dumb. It's just people who don't know anything about anything,
yeah,
and they're looking for something to be mad about and somebody to hate on online. That's what it seems like, right, to me.
Well, the thing I do...
Screw that guy.
All right. Well, the thing I do agree about, though, is the Iron Fist casting. I do think they casted the wrong, they cast the wrong guy. You know, look at this. This guy went to some far, you know, far east exotic location. He was studying the ancient secrets of the martial arts, mastering them. He's completely screwed over by Asian women. You know, look at this. I'm the motherfucking Iron Fist. I should have been. That's my life. That's what I did.
Should have been you, huh?
It should have been me. That's what I'm actually most upset. To be honest with you, Ezra, that's what I'm most upset about. That I was not cast.
Okay.
Cast as Iron Fist.
You would have been a good one, Nate.
Yeah, man. I'd have to dye my hair blonde. I got a little too much gray in there, but I think everything else would have been all right.
Yeah, man. You just gotta stay off the internet for the most part. I tell you what, podcasts are awesome, but a lot of these reviews and Facebook and all this kind of stuff, man. I just think people are so much better off without it. I really don't think it's that good of a thing, you know? Because just
right,
it's just it empowering people to have opinions about things that they never would have got to have opinions about before, and it was maybe a little better that way, you know?
Right. Like your point about the, especially Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, which, we just mentioned it in our phone conversation, but not on the podcast, which was, you brought up Jessica Jones as this, the contrast of this really physically strong character who was sort of psychologically manipulated and felt she was a victim.
And I thought that, yeah, from like a film theory perspective,
there you go.
I thought that was really cool in terms of, you know, women or like a feminist view on, you know, a screen topic like that was just that she, you know, when you look at the character, she is like, has this incredible strength and power.
Mm-hmm.
And really this guy that has manipulated her and screwed with her and made her believe that she's weak. Right.
Right.
Has, you know, this power over her. And essentially what the show is about is her kind of getting out of that and becoming empowered and realizing that, no, like I really am strong and I can, you know, do good on my own. I don't have to have, you know, let this person have control over me.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, I mean, to some extent, that's kind of has been the experience of, you know, women in the last, you know, century and some, is that they, you know, unfortunately, a lot of places in the world, well, most places in the world were kind of taught like, you can't defend yourself. You're not smart.
Right.
You're not capable of caring for yourself. All these kind of things. And that was, you know, hideously detrimental to both men and women to have that attitude, because the world is a better place when each individual is empowered to care for themselves and other people, and to take care, you know, to be able to protect themselves and other people.
Right.
And women absolutely can do those things. They've just been told that they cannot for a very long time. And it's one of the things, I guess, that maybe that's a good positive note to close on, is that martial arts in a lot of ways really is an antidote to a lot of these problems. You know, I mean, you can sit there and wish men would stop sexually assaulting women until you're blue in the face, or you can just learn how to keep people from sexually assaulting you. It's very doable in most situations.
Right.
You know?
And so I think maybe that's, and I think that was one of the reasons there was such a positive reaction to the female Asian character in Iron Fist, was that she was a super strong martial artist. The only problem is I have no idea what the hell martial arts she did. She's like a little too like curvy and soft. I think a lot of times the female martial artists get a little more gristly
not to mention the martial arts stuff that she was using would never work somebody her size against somebody the size of the people she was fighting.
Right.
It was not an accurate interpretation of how a woman defends herself against a man.
Right.
That kind of sucks. But,
right.
You know, what are you going to do? It's a TV show.
Right.
You know?
One last thought, Ezra. I know you got to get going, but you know, the original idea was to look at the fight choreography, And with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, they're, a lot of the movement is slow because they're super strong or beating these people up. Daredevil's super quick. But Daredevil, and also later in the episodes, they have Elektra. Both of them are wearing masks. So, in fact, in some of the Daredevil scenes, you can see where it's the actor. He pulls down his mask. He walks behind a door. And then all the action begins in the same shot. Well, the action is clearly the stuntman. Okay? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think one of the reasons that in Iron Fist, there's no action is Iron Fist doesn't have a mask. You have to have this actor who can do everything. And the times there are action, it's like kind of fuzzy and you can't see the guy's head. So I think like having the mask is another issue, which would have been another reason to cast me as Iron Fist, because I can do karate and have my head in the same. Are you listening, Hollywood? I think we should remake Enter the Dragon. Not even, we'll do a sequel where I play Roper and we go on the search for Bruce Lee's killers. I'm not really joking. I think this is what we need to do.
Man, well, you better get to work, Nate.
I know it. All right, well.
In L.A.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, you got to go. I really thank you again, Ezra. I think, we started talking about some pop culture stuff, but I think we got into some social stuff, and I think it was a nice little mix. So appreciate you being
hey,
on
man,
the show
my
again.
I'm always grateful to get to be on the podcast.
All right, that's all for this week's show. Thanks to Ezra Scott from James McLean's Kosho School of Karate for joining me. If you want to learn more about Ezra and his school, please visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. Again, if you're listening to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, I shared a link to the article from io9.com that we discussed on today's show on the Chop Talk Facebook page. Please add a comment if you agree or disagree with our take on the article. Thanks for listening. Nihidibiru and Mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.